We're in the middle right now of a series of lessons on the subject of essentials that are going to shape your heart. Last week, we were in lesson number 3, as we talked about the worst thing about sin. And we saw that sin brings grief into our lives, that sin hurts other people, sin separates me from God, and sin will condemn me forever. And then lastly, we looked at that my sin hurts God. And we looked at passages about grieving God or grieving the Holy Spirit. And we understand as parents, if you've been a parent any time at all, you understand that maybe you've been grieved, or certainly you're going to be grieved in the future. And you understand that experience. And certainly what God goes through as well as we commit sin. Today we want to move on from there to lesson number 4 now in our series. And that is the question about prayer. In fact, many times we pose as a question, why do they struggle to pray? We see in Psalm and in Psalm chapter 34, it says in verse 14, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. I guess it's an odd thing that disciples do struggle to pray. I don't mean to be critical about that. Truth is, especially when I was younger, I struggled too. You get busy and you fail to pray as you should. And you feel guilty many times, and you regret the neglect that occurs many times in our life. But the fact that we wrestle with this doesn't make it any less odd. God has given us this great privilege. Psalm 34, and in verse 15 again, the righteous are the eyes of the Lord toward the righteous, his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's amazing to me to think about just having the opportunity to address the Father. I was reading the other day about God created the heavens and the earth. On the fourth day, he put into being the galaxies. I was reading that the fastest you could go would be the speed of light, 186,282 miles per second. And if you went 186,282 miles per second, you could go across our galaxy in 101,000 years. And then to get across the rest of the galaxies right now, they state there might be 200 billion different galaxies. And God spoke them into existence on day number 4. And still we have the privilege to address God in prayer as Christians. And he hears us and he listens to us. What a great thing for the child of God. But why do we struggle to pray? Well, let's just go down through these rather quickly this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, someone might say that I'm just too busy. Just too busy to pray. One of the factors many times in the neglect of prayer is what the disciples often are cite quite frequently. Our lives are full. We work. We commute. We have all types of activities going on. Seems like our weekends are full now. Now we have cell phones. I was all right with emails to where I could email people maybe a couple hours or a day or two later. Now, with text messages, and with text messages, people, they want you to answer immediately. So I do. I hit okay, and that's it. That's my text message. There are iPods, iPads, TV, game systems, the internet. And while these are not in and of themselves sinful, there are distractions. There are distractions to our praying to God. They work in concert to rob us of our solitude to go to God in prayer. In Luke and in chapter 5 and in verse 15 and 16, Luke 5 and in verse 15 and 16, he says in Luke 5 and in verses 15 and 16, but the news about him was spreading either further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Didn't make any difference when he was at the height of his popularity, when he was feeding the 4,000, 5,000, that's pretty much a height of popularity there, and then he told them something and they removed themselves from him. But it seems like all the time he was slipping away to pray to his Father. Is this the core of the problem, though? Are there moments to where we have trouble finding time to pray because we're too busy? Maybe it's the fact that there's a tornado that's headed your way. Maybe it's headed to your neighborhood. You don't have any problem praying to God during that time. You don't have a problem finding time to pray to God because you're too busy in your life, because something is getting ready to happen to you, or maybe to your family or your brethren or your property or whatever it is. And you seem like you find time to pray then. Maybe it's I can't really find the words to pray. I know new Christians many times have this problem, especially when they come from a non-religious background. Maybe they've never prayed before. I can't see God. It's difficult for me to carry on a conversation with someone that I cannot see. Maybe this is kind of awkward for a person that's never done this before, this idea of praying. But this isn't just something that new Christians struggle with. Even seasoned disciples deal with this. In Luke chapter 11, in Luke chapter 11, and in verse 1, Luke 11 verse 1, it says, it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. Didn't ask him to teach us to preach. I've always been prepared to preach. Always had sermons in my Bible, have notes in my Bible to wear at different times. If I have my little clip with me that I can put in the computer, I can bring up 7,000-8,000 sermons in just one swoop. So I am ready to preach. But not always been ready to pray. That's very interesting. I don't know what to say many times when I pray. I don't know if this is really the core of our struggle either or not. Because I've seen people that have been new to the faith. They maybe have lost their jobs. Maybe they're living week to week, paycheck to paycheck. And all of a sudden they found out that their factory is getting ready to close down. And it's getting ready to close down quick. Maybe like Jeff Boat a couple of weeks ago. And I tell you, that person that has a mortgage, that has a car payment, that has his children to feed, his wife to feed, at that point in time, doesn't have any trouble finding the words to go to God in prayer and see what He wants him to do. So I don't know if it's the fact that we're really too busy. I don't know if it's really the idea that I really just can't find any words concerning what I need to do to pray. Maybe with some people they say, well, I just don't feel worthy to pray. Let's be clear. Everyone who prays to God has to understand that many will not have an answer. The reason? Well, we look back in Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, and in verse 16 again. Remember verse 15, he said, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord, verse 16, the face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off memory of them from the earth. In chapter 66 of Psalms, and in verses 16 through 19, Psalm 66, and in verses 16 through 19, come and hear all who fear God, and tell of what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, what does he say, verse 18? The Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard and has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor His loving kindness from me. If I am sinning, if I am defying God's will for my life, I'm not going to expect God to respond if I call on Him. But that's not always the problem here. Maybe there are some right elements to the fact of the hearts of these people who feel that they're not worthy to pray. First of all, it's an awesome privilege to address God. I suppose after so many years, maybe sometimes we lose a little sight of that. But it is a great privilege to address God. We also see in Psalm chapter 8 and in verses 3 and 4, Psalm 8 and in verses 3 and 4, Psalm 8 and in verses 3 and 4, he says in verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." I looked that up before we started today. How many stars are in our galaxy? 250 billion, it said. Unfathomable. "The moon, the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him." So there's a sense of littleness before God, I would guess, with people who created the heavens and the earth. Who am I to be talking? Who am I to be talking to the God of the universe? But then he says in verse 5 and 6 of the same passage, Psalm 8, verse 5 and 6, "Yet you are made a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." No doubt, I am special. You're special. No doubt, we are loved by God. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6 and 7, Philippians 4 and in verse 6 and 7, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This has been graciously extended to us. But I wonder if that's the core of our problems as well. That I feel unworthy. Last night, Lynn and I, we were holding our little grandbabies. The one, just a couple of months old. So alert. And yet, if something happened to them, if there was a spot or something on an x-ray, and I knew that I had the opportunity to lose that little girl or that little boy, do you think I'd be on my knees praying to God? You with your grandbabies, you with your children, you with your spouse, and even with yourself. Do you think at that time, "Oh no, I'm not worthy to be praying to God"? No, you'd be right down there on your knees praying to God. So it's not. It's really not feeling worthy. It's not that I'm too busy. It's not that I can't find the words. It's not that I feel unworthy. The fact is, most of the time, and this is the last point, and the lesson's going to be yours. Most of the time, I just don't feel that I need God. When it's a crisis, when it's that storm coming through, oh, I'll pray to God. If I've had something financially happen to me and I want that reversed, I'm going to pray to God. If someone who means a lot to me is sick, I'm going to pray to God. We fear all these. These are devastating possibilities. But there's also a sense of helplessness in this. These things are out of my control. I need help with these things. And then we instinctively turn and we pray to God. But most of the time, I'm not in a crisis. Most of the time, things are going pretty good. Most of the time, they're not things that are devastating my life and your life. And in those times, many times, we feel that we don't need God. Our needs have been met. Everything's going well in our life. Just like in the book of Revelation, I'm rich and I have need of nothing. And this great blessing can have its downside. And prayer becomes the inevitable casualty of this arrogant mindset. But let's be plain, one of the essential elements of a meaningful prayer life is the proper sense of my daily dependence upon God. We sing the song, we know the song by heart. I need thee, oh I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. We need God every day. If for no other reason, I need to be communicating with God every day to nurture my relationship with Him. In Luke 5, we read a few moments ago, Jesus was continually communicating with His Father. Are we doing that? He urges us to do the same in Colossians and in chapter 4 and in verse 2. Colossians 4 verse 2, devote yourself to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Because I can't have a relationship without communication. Beyond this, I need to talk to God every day because I need Him. Every day I have to battle with Satan. Every day we send our families out to meet the enemy. Every day I wage a battle, you wage a battle for lost souls. Every day holds potential for growth and maturing in Christ. Do I need God? Well, that's the lesson for today. Why do we struggle to pray? And that's one of the other things we see concerning the child of God. And one of these six essentials that are going to shape our lives. Two more over the next 2 weeks, and then the series will be yours as well. But today we have an opportunity again to come to God in humble obedience. I've had three so far this year that have been baptized into Christ. Been able to access God in prayer. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to happen. And maybe you're out there today as well that need to be obedient to the truth, be baptized, or to come back to your first love. I invite you to come right now while together we stand and sing.